The 920 KVEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kvec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 01111911.
.406 on the Central Coast on this Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024. I am Dave Congleton. In about an hour, we're going to be in conversation with Annie Lorenzen. Let's talk about Florida. Governor DeSantis signed a law, likely to be challenged in court, that says children under the age of 14 cannot have social media in the state. What are smartphones doing to the brains of our kids? We'll talk. Larry Martinez at 6:05. This hour, oh, look who's here, the one, the only, Mr. Sports, Mitch Massey. Mitch, how are you, sir?
Fine. The day I get called when I'm just walking down the street, Mr. Sports, I will know that you have an incredibly avid listener for when I'm on your show. So, hey, it hasn't happened yet, but it will happen because we hold out hope always.
Well, you know, radio and TV, it's repetition. You just keep saying it enough and enough and enough. And
yes.
Somebody's going to call you Mr. Sports.
Exactly. So
no one's called you that before? After all the years you've spent in sports, no one's called you Mr. Sports?
Well, they've called me sports, but there's been other words before the word sports. So Mr. is very respectful. So thank you for that. And just so your listeners know that none of us called each other before showing up today, but we're all sitting here in black T-shirts or black shirts. So I just think, hey. It's the last day before you go on vacation, so we're celebrating somehow.
I don't know.
Me neither.
All right. So let's start with the current. This is Dodgers. Shohei Ohtani. Who is he? Remind our listeners.
Shohei Ohtani spent his first 7 years in Major League Baseball with the Angels. He's from Japan, and where he got on the radar with a lot of people outside of being a two-time MVP in the American League. He signed a $700 million deal with the Dodgers for 10 years.
$700 million.
Yeah. But he's only getting paid $2 million a year because $68 million a year is being deferred. So the Dodgers will be paying him for the rest of our lifetimes. But that's how they're able to get under a lot of salary cap things because it's deferred payments. And that was Ohtani's deal with him. So the Dodgers could go out and spend even more, which they did to about $1.4 billion.
So everyone's excited. Dodger Blue, Dodger Fever.
Yes.
This is the second coming. Yeah, yada, yada. Yada.
Yeah.
And then something happened with the interpreter.
The interpreter, who goes back to the early 20s as friends with Ohtani. You know, I've been friends for at least 10 years. At least. And he had him as his interpreter when he was at the Angels, came to the Dodgers. And so what he did, well, apparently was has gambling issues. And the story was uncovered that $4.5 million was paid out of Ohtani's bank account or transferred money in increments of $50,000, but to the total of $4.5 million for gambling debt, which his interpreter apparently did. That is the accusation. Ohtani, so far, there's no accusations to him.
We stress that. There's nothing that connects the player gambling.
Not yet. And no even kind of rumors that would go that way. And so when you look at it in real practical sense, Ohtani has to sign off on all money transfers, but he gave the right to a few individuals who oversee some of his financing. And so his interpreter was one. And so Ohtani's playing his sport and having a high level of trust with his interpreter and a few others on his financing. And how does he not know, that being Ohtani, know that $4.5 million has been transferred out of his account? Now, in defense of all of this, how many young athletes have garnered so much money and then they get an investor and that investor then takes all of their money and they're blindsided by it? So if you want to have a nice discussion, not so much an argument, but a discussion to say, how can someone be blindsided like that? Well, their expertise is not in the finance realm. Their expertise is to play the sport.
They play ball.
And they trust someone else to take care of their financing, or they let others, transfer money because of the relationship they have.
This happens with actors. It happens with musicians. Yeah. It's not just ball players.
Yes. Well said. Exactly. And because their life is, they make a lot of money through the arts or through athletics or through entertainment, and someone else, they give the responsibility to take care of the money. So was he blindsided by it? My instincts say yes, he was.
What happened to the interpreter?
The interpreter is now under an investigation through not only Major League Baseball, but through the district attorney's office, being able to say, okay, did he steal this money without Ohtani having any knowledge? And so that's what has to be uncovered. And so far, he has been banned from the Dodgers, fired him.
The interpreter, yes.
And what you usually get after, very especially early on, you usually through a journalistic direction, people uncover some more rumors that come forward, but it's gotten really quiet. It kind of hit, and then it got quiet, so nothing has been uncovered or leaked through terms of Ohtani being involved.
But is Ohtani now playing under a cloud?
His teammates, those things you want to read in the LA Times especially, have been saying, hey, he is handling it very well, and there hasn't been a distraction, so his teammates say. But wouldn't they really say anything that's going to encourage team involvement to a positive anyway?
Mitch Massey on this broadcast. We're talking about baseball and gambling. So what do you expect to happen next in this case? What are we looking for?
Well, there's no timetable for it. Major League Baseball is the lead on this to do their due diligence, and they haven't said, you know, on such and such a date they will come forward with findings. There's not been anything that has been published to be able to read, or has been in the media saying they're going to come forward at this date with their findings. It has just been very quiet.
So if the investigation shows that Ohtani is somehow involved and has not been honest with investigators, what might happen to him?
Well, the Major League Baseball is if you bet and you've lied about it, but you haven't bet on your team, but let's say you've bet on baseball, but you haven't bet on your team, it's a one-year ban. Now, if you have bet on a team that you're participating on, then it's the Pete Rose deal. You are banned for life. And Pete Rose, that happened in 1989. So that would be the extreme of all of this. But mostly, let's say Ohtani was truly, as he indicates, didn't know what was happening, and that becomes fact. And so the interpreter then embezzled from him $4.5 million to pay off gambling debt, as the story goes, and then he will be sentenced accordingly.
All right. We are in conversation with Mitch Massey talking about baseball and gambling. Once again, here's a baseball story involving gambling. The history of baseball is replete with such accusations. We'll pick up the conversation. Your phone call still to come right here on AM 920 FM 96.5 News Talk KVEC. This is the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. Batter up Mitch Massey. Mr. Sports is with us, explaining to us the controversy surrounding the Dodger superstar Shohei Ohtani. But as I've been mentioning, this is just another example of the history of baseball. I guess, does it start with the 1919 World Series?
Yeah, the Black Sox scandal.
That is
where the legendary player that many who follow baseball would hear, the Black Sox scandal. They, as a team, threw the World Series, and Shoeless Joe Jackson, who is legendary in the early 1900s as a baseball player, was part of that. but he said he was never part of the gambling, this and that. His other teammates were. So he was the first one to be banned from baseball, and this is how it kind of started. They threw the World Series, and fact or not, Shoeless Joe Jackson's name is synonymous with, well, he's suspended from baseball, which was the name that became very prominent as saying, well, when it started in 1919, when P. Rose did it, was accused of it, he was banned, 1989. And so then that opens the door, which will always be an ongoing good talk show conversation. Should Pete Rose be in baseball?
I'll get there, I promise. But back in 1919.
Yeah.
So Shoeless Joe Jackson, those guys were all banned for life?
Yes.
All right. Are you okay with what happened to them?
Well, considering that's a little bit before I was born
You're the sports historian.
And where society has gone, where we give folks so many other opportunities. Okay, that was wrong. Baseball, when you look at the things you can or can't do with baseball and saying, well, we've given people so many second chances based off things that they've done, which I think would be a lot worse. They've let's say there's players that have come back who have brought harm to other people, but then after a 50-game ban or a one-year ban, they get an opportunity to come back in. I just think the dynamic of society has changed so dramatically that what we felt was really bad, but yes, there's accountability, but why not put an asterisk next to these fellas that have done bad things and just say, what did they do on the field? Did they compete well on the field? Because when you look at someone like, for example, Ty Cobb, not a nice person off the field, and had a lot of allegations that came to him, heck of a baseball player. So you can just go through the history of baseball and start repeating one after the other and saying, well, they did this, but they didn't get out accountable to it. But the holy grail for baseball is you don't bet on your team or yourself in the sport of baseball. And if you do, then that's the worst thing that they have.
So talk about Pete Rose and remind folks of the allegations against Pete Rose.
Pete Rose, when he was a manager, he was brought forward for, he was always a better, and you know, he'd bet on baseball, he would bet on all sorts of things. But when it was uncovered that he bet on a team that he was managing, because then all of a sudden you can have the perceived control of the final outcome, then that's where you cross the line. So he was banned for betting on the Cincinnati Reds. So all the information that came forward shows that. And so, but am I a fan to say, should Pete Rose be in the Hall of Fame? I would be one that would say yes.
Why?
Because what he did for the sport of baseball, how he approached the sport of baseball, how he executed the game between the lines, no one has had a stronger commitment than Pete Rose. Did he have a habit of bad addiction? Sure, but many have addictions of gambling. But then when it was uncovered that, well, it looks like he bet on the Reds. Did it have an outcome? Could they understand an outcome that he may have had to influence? That never came about. He did not influence, so that's what was shown. I'm just more of giving a person a second opportunity. Time has passed. I think he deserves to be there, at least, you know, by the Veterans Committee. Put as many asterisks as you want next to him. Let's say on the field, the playing field, did he play the game the right way? He sure did.
So other than the 1919 Black Sox and Pete Rose, have there been other players banned from baseball for gambling?
No.
That popped to mind?
No.
Don't pop just to my two mind. Cases.
Those right. are those are the two cases, Look, and I would stand correct if someone else brings someone forward. I just don't know of one.
All right, let's hear from Craig. And Craig, I know you're a big Pete Rose fan.
Yeah, I definitely think Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame is not affiliated officially with Major League Baseball, so his ban with Major League Baseball should not have an effect on his eligibility for the Hall of Fame. What he did, he did. He did get over 4,000 hits.
Yeah.
You know, you can't take that away, no matter what he did outside of that. And his ban from baseball is, you know, he earned that. Like those hits, he earned his ban from baseball. But what he did not earn was his exclusion from the Hall of Fame.
And yeah. Why shouldn't he be? Why should he be in the Hall of Fame given what he did?
Because of what led up to his entire career. I mean, he is a Hall of Famer out and out. You know, matter of fact, well, I was going to say he should have been in the Hall of Fame before that, but he was still technically a player manager. And so, but he had done what was needed, his personal issues. And once again, I say it again, the Hall of Fame is not Major League Baseball. Why is he being banned from the one thing and not the other?
Help me understand.
The other?
Why is it not Major League Baseball?
Well, because it's its own entity.
Oh, I see.
It's not affiliated officially with
its own governing body.
Yeah, the business of Major League Baseball.
And look, I don't have a dog in this hunt, but if the guy bet on baseball, he stained.
Yeah, and he's this. And he is, and he's banned from baseball. That is his crime.
Yeah,
you know.
So shouldn't he be banned?
I don't think from the Hall of Fame. And as far as Shohei Ohtani is concerned, I do definitely want to take a big, long breath on this one, because looking into the background of the quote-unquote interpreter, there's been a myriad of lies that have come out about his education, that he was a professional interpreter for other baseball teams, which he was not. He lied about that. He lied about, I guess, going to the University of Riverside, which if you're going to give one, why would you lie about that one? Yeah. I mean, UCR, nah, you know, not Harvard.
Yeah. I'm not
George Santos of baseball.
I'm not putting the guy on trial.
But you got that guy who already has shady dealings, and Shohei has done nothing yet to show that he deserves to be lumped in with that guy. So until I see any kind of solid proof where there's a video of him saying, hey, deposit this money so I can go bet on more baseball. Unless I see that, I'm just going to, you know, stay away from this one.
On the Stolberg line, I never minded that Pete Rose bet on his own team as long as he bet for them to win.
Well, they're, yeah, take that one on. Well, as long as he bet for them to win. But the irony in this is the games, there's one example I know of the game that he bet on the team actually lost. And they said, well, you must have managed the game for them to lose, which there was no research. Any moves that he made didn't. Because what he did apparently was, you know, he bet on a cluster of games and the Reds were one of them. And so he's looking, okay, how many of these games can I win or parlay into others? And so the one game that he was managing, his team did not win, and the way he set up the pitching staff and the lineup, there was just...
Didn't he initially deny that he was gambling?
Yes, sure.
So he lied initially.
And then initially, okay, let's bring in the steroid guys, you know, the Barry Bonds, the Roger Clemens, the Mark McGuire, you know, the steroids was not banned from baseball at the time, but what they did is when they went in front of the congressional fellas, and they lied that they never had used steroids. That's when they got in trouble.
So are they, Barry Bonds, are those guys going to be in the Hall of Fame?
They need to get voted in, but I would also say to Craig's point is, you know, what they were able to do on the field and steroids, how much did it enhance? Steroids really going to help you from an endurance standpoint, but that hand-eye coordination to be able to, steroids isn't helping you there, and to be able to throw a pitch a little bit harder, maybe, but their quality of work for a duration of time speaks for itself. And again, that's where, as Craig said, it's a different entity, different governing body. Put him in the Hall of Fame because that really, an era that defined steroids, they were the best in that era. But steroids was not banned from baseball.
What else, Craig?
As far as steroids, they weren't specifically banned in baseball, but they were technically banned in baseball because the ban was against, in law, the rule said that you cannot take any drugs that are not prescribed to you by a doctor. Mm-hmm. So these guys taking these drugs who were not given to them by a doctor were taking a banned substance. So they were technically banned in baseball at the time. And then for Pete Rose, I had another comment, and I can't remember what it was, but hey, he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Think about it during the news break. Do you think Pete Rose will ever be in the Hall of Fame?
My gut says probably after he passes away, which will be obviously too late.
Just as punishment.
Yeah. I just think that they'll...
That's up to the baseball commissioner, or is it the Hall of Fame committee?
It would be up to the baseball commissioner and baseball saying, okay, we're going to back down on that and then allow this to happen, because they have to get the vote, even though the Hall of Fame is its own governing group.
All right, Mitch Massey is here. We're talking about baseball and gambling. We have more examples here with Shohei Ohtani and the accusations against his interpreter. Also talking about Pete Rose and the White Sox, the Black Sox, rather, 1919. We have a lot to cover. News, traffic, weather, your phone calls still to come. But this is Hometown Radio.
Now back to Hometown Radio on News Talk 920 and FM 96.5 KVEC.
And you remember what you're trying to remember?
I did remember, because you were talking about how, you know, he bet on his own team.
Pete Rose.
Yeah, Pete Rose. Well, the idea where it becomes really problematic, as the kids say, is let's say he's bet on them, but they're losing and they got a big series tomorrow. Well, he might endanger his own player. He might have somebody pitch that he normally wouldn't have pitch. It would affect his decisions whether he bet on the team or not, or if he did bet on the team, to possibly risk something that he normally wouldn't risk, be it a player or a game, to win a specific game versus the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he didn't bet against the team, but did he endanger his player, or did he risk future losses for that one win that day?
All right, we'll talk about that with Mr. Mitch Massey. This is the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. Mitch Massey is back with us. We're talking about baseball and gambling as far back as 1919. We've also talked a little bit about Pete Rose and what's happening now with the Dodgers. What's your response to what Craig was just saying?
Good point. And to dovetail onto that, Craig, in the bigger picture and get outside of baseball, because it is about betting on sport. J.B. Bickerstaff, the head basketball coach for the Cleveland Cavaliers, he said, where this is all going is this undue influence, or maybe too much influence, of what happens when folks have a lot of money riding on a particular game. He, some of those who bet on the Cleveland Cavaliers, got a hold of his cell phone number, left threatening messages, and then when he was coaching a game and the point spread for Cleveland on the betting line was 11, Cleveland was up by 10 with like a minute to go. And so he starts taking his starters out, which a lot of coaches would. Okay, we've got this game secure. And then the fans would start yelling, but with the point spread's 11, you got to leave him in. And then he got some text saying, how dare you do that? You can't do that. I bet the over on this, and so I needed to make sure. I don't know what the final score of the game was, but the point was, is that what's happening with point spreads and numbers is that coaches all of a sudden start getting not directly in bed with folks who are trying to win a lot of money, but indirectly get involved with them, because they will get threatened if the betting of the money does not go the way of those who see, you know, the over or under or total point spread.
Let's take a call. Here's Alan in San Luis. Hey, Alan.
Hey, Dave. Hey, Mitch.
Hi, Alan.
Some things don't seem to change, because I think of all the movies where you have the mobsters who are trying to influence. It could be a boxing match or something else. So you can have people who are not organized crime, but again, with the money, if they try, like you said, to influence the outcome, that's always going to be a problem.
Always.
Now, as far as Shohei Ohtani, they kept mentioning, because I watched the Dodger games and all the stuff before and after, that it wasn't just his interpreter, it was his friend, is how they kept putting it, his friend for several years. So whether Shohei was looking the other way or whether he trusted him too much and was robbed because of that, see, this is that's why they have to keep investigating to find out what's going on. Was it the interpreter thrown under the bus, or was he stealing and Shohei just didn't know it until this happened?
Alan, what if it turns out whether Ohtani was involved?
Then you have to punish appropriately. I cringe to say that because the he's so talented.
And what about Pete Rose?
Now, that's the thing. His betting came after, well, as a manager, so there was a punishment there. But his play, and this goes back to you talking about the Hall of Fame there, Mitch and Craig, it didn't affect his performance as a player. He was a tremendous player, and he should be in the Hall of Fame for that reason. Maybe not as a manager, because you can be a Hall of Fame manager as well, but he was a great player.
Mitch?
I like your points. So when you look at betting in general, there's five basic behaviors, and that's what anything that is going to create an addiction approach is always going to have some basic behaviors to it. But, you know, why do people bet? So, Alan, one is entertainment value, two, profit, skill, the chance to win. Hey, I'm really good at something, so let me bet and I'll play the odds. And then, you know, just the competitive nature, just the satisfaction of, hey, my team won and I won a few dollars. And then it adds, because if the game's not enough, it adds another level of excitement. So those are the basics.
Well, by the way, there's one big one you're missing. What? That's addiction.
Yeah, well, this
they're doing because they're addicted.
That's all these basic fundamental skill sets or values, human behaviors will lead to an addiction. All of a sudden, if you're getting so much satisfaction out of something, then it leads to a natural thing. I want to do more of it. I want to do more of it. And so, again, those are the basic foundations to why people bet, which then leads itself, say, well, I just won more money. Do I go put more money down on the blackjack table? And, you know, how can we walk away? Or the old adage is, you know, that money I told you not to give me, I need it now. Yeah. I need it now.
What else, Alan?
Sure. I know there will be people saying, well, the Dodgers are going to cover it up. And I get that. But it goes the other way. There are those who, because of jealousy, whatever reason, want Shohei to fail, and they're going to be digging like crazy to find dirt. So you have two sides that can happen, cover up or mudslinging, going for the throat. So I expect the truth at some point to come out.
I sure hope so. Alan, yes. Good to hear from you.
Thanks for the call.
You expect that? That you're going to get the truth?
Well, you need answers in today's investigative world, and then obviously all those who think they're investigators, and so much noise to be able to say, here's what I found, here's what I found, what's rumor, what's fact. There will be a lot of unturning, but that's why it's so interesting so far that it's been so quiet. It came out. His interpreter came forward and saying that he had this issue. Both camps tried to recover really quickly. Ohtani, first of all, said, or his camp said, well, he gave him the money to cover his bets. And then quickly after that, then the camp turned and said, no, he knew nothing about it. So all of a sudden, it's like, what story are we following? But it's been, again, for these kind of directions with what we call media today, it has really become very quiet.
805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. We don't want it to be quiet here. We want to hear from you about baseball and gambling. On the Stolberg line, listener says, how about a special hybrid category for guys like Pete Rose based on his record number of base hits combined with his record number of winning bets?
I agree with that, because when you look at baseball, look at sport, there's generations. And when you look at, okay, the steroid generation, okay, let's just call that a 10-year stretch. And you say, okay, well, here's those who on the field did extraordinary things, but they were because of their actions off the field, they cheated the sport, but we still need to give them credit for what they did. But to a hybrid kind of direction of what society can say, well, yes, we like them, but they were penalized. But still, let's give credit to that era in which they competed. And I like that idea.
Well, I think the question becomes, should these people be punished? Absolutely. Should it be a lifetime ban? Wow.
I think that's too intense, because when you look at the way society has unveiled itself through, let's say the last 30 years, we give a lot of opportunities, and back to the old saying, a land of opportunity. They broke a rule, but even when we tell someone they've been incarcerated, they still get a second opportunity. Okay, well, let's put them over into this. They cheated the game to some extent, but for their actions on the field, they competed at a level very few have been able to see. So let's give them credit there.
Do you think Pete Rose is being singled out?
He's made himself an easy target.
Yeah.
Because he kept fighting and saying, I didn't do it, I didn't do it, I didn't do it. Plus, he's won because of his temperament. He becomes an easy target for people not to like. That when you got to start seeing the softer side, when he said, okay, I'm coming clean, I did this and that, he's been very apologetic. And for him to do that, so let's give him a little credit, because he was a fighter and I did nothing wrong. But then he had to become very vulnerable and say, all right, does he deserve better? Baseball was his whole life. Again, to creating a category that says great player, maybe not a great human, but a great player on the field. He did some things off the field that were against what is ethically wrong for the sport.
And that's what the Hall of Fame is about, is your role as a player.
Yes. Yeah, there's no value system that's coming in. Well, as a human, you did this, and you received an award because, you know, you helped more nonprofits than anything else. No, you were evaluated by what you did on your field of performance or court.
All right, Mitch Massey is here. We're talking about baseball and gambling, and East is East and West is West, and never the twain shall meet, but it's meeting again. We'll come back for a final segment on AM 920, FM 96.5 News Talk, KVEC. Annie Lorenzen joins us after news at the top of the hour in our final segment with Mitch Massey. If you want in on this conversation, we need to hear from you now, please. 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. As we look at the relationship, often uneasy, between baseball and gambling. And you were talking before the break, Mitch, about how our culture makes it easier now. Betting is more front and center.
Yeah, it's socially acceptable behavior. And when you kind of look at, when did all this kind of start? Those who do research to say, when was the first bet made? And let me ask you, fellas, when do you think the first bet was made? What does history tell us?
The first bet of baseball?
First bet in sport. What would you think?
I'm sure it was one guy betting he could throw a rock farther than the other guy.
Yeah.
Well, let's take you to Rome and the chariot races. That's what history says. Yes, but to the point of I can throw a rock farther than you. Yes, but when you look back to the socially acceptable behaviors and research, we really think it's, I don't know if they bet lives back then, but it's like, hey, you know, my gladiator will beat your gladiator. And then another trivia for both of you, because we're just turning it to a trivia show. There are two states that you cannot gamble sports.
I guessed
two
one. Utah.
You guessed one. Okay. Greg, what would be the other one?
Yeah, I was going to, Utah would be the only one. Somewhere like Vermont
one.
Or somewhere.
Somewhere in the south.
Well, I was totally surprised by this, because it's a place Nancy and I love to travel to, but not to do any sports gambling, and that would be Hawaii.
Really?
Wow, yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's
too
what
busy
research
on the beach
tells you.
To gamble.
Exactly.
Craig, what's your beef about steroid players?
Yeah, to me, steroid players are worse than what Pete Rose did, because Pete Rose, yes, he damaged the game, but steroid players, to me, damage the integrity of the game and the sanctity of its records. And if there's one thing that baseball is about, it's the records. That's the overarching history of baseball, is all about the numbers. And when these steroid guys came in, it's almost like they blew up Mount Rushmore. You know, you take the greatest players of all time that we measure every player since against, and the numbers are just so out of whack, it doesn't even matter anymore. And you're taking things away from the legacy of players like Babe Ruth, you know, Mickey Mantle, Joe DiMaggio. You're taking away from them. So not only are you giving to yourself, but you're taking away from other people in a dishonest fashion.
What about that, Mitch?
Fascinating. This is why talk radio can work so well. Craig, so the integrity to steroids pays a higher level of dishonesty.
Aren't they equally bad?
Than betting on the sport or your team.
Aren't they equally bad, though?
But I think it's
both against the integrity.
It's one versus two. So you got gambling, yes, the integrity of the game. But with steroids, it's that plus the sanctity of the records. So to me, it's even more damaging.
Are you open to the idea that there would be a hybrid section in the Hall of Fame that says, well, all of those that, let's say, so-called cheated the game, but they were tremendous players, go into this category?
I'd be all for that, as long as they called it the cheaters wing.
The cheaters wing.
Well, is there cheating? Why let them in? The Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and I'm not talking about good cheating like spitballs and line talk.
No, yes, the Gaylord Perry kind of thing.
Why let Pete Rose in if he cheated?
No, he didn't cheat. He was never accused of cheating.
Well, in terms of gambling.
Yes.
But that wasn't cheating.
And then he lied about it initially.
Yes, he lied, yes. I just think to these directions of the integrity of the game, a lot of things in all sport define a certain era of sport. And so if that's the definition of that particular era that, well, they just got caught, but a lot of people are doing it, you can go back to the NFL, let's say in the 60s or 70s, and say steroid use is rapid because guys are bigger and stronger and faster, and saying, okay, well, do we start eliminating those that we're able to catch back then, which they didn't. It's been part of the game,
but unlike and size,
then doping in cycling. You know, do you take away from all the great cycling records?
Well, look at Lance Armstrong.
That's what I mean. Yeah,
but unlike the size factor, where you can say, okay, these guys are bigger, faster, stronger. Baseball, you had a guy, you know, in the 1930s hit 60 home runs. And then it didn't get matched until the 60s, 30 years later. And then you didn't have another guy, an honest guy in Aaron Judge do it until, 2 years ago. So that shows me that 60 is the real number. That is the bar that has been set. When you got guys going, you know, 100 years hitting 60 as a maximum, and then all of a sudden you got two guys in one season hitting 70, and then, you know, more than that. For multiple seasons, that's when things just are out of whack for me for baseball. And that's what tells me that these records today, those steroid records, are a joke.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think anybody's denying that. Are you?
No, and that's why it's more damaging to me. Just to wrap it up, that's why it's more damaging to me.
I think
to the game.
Equally damaging.
Yeah, but boy, from an entertainment standpoint, it was great for the sport. My God, the home run between Sosa and McGuire and what it meant to the sport. Then at the same point, it's like, oh, they were cheating.
They were cheating, so it takes away from it.
But they didn't bring it up when it was happening. Boy, because it was great theater. Great theater. So, as I said, this is a great discussion because you're really going to get two sides to it. But again, the bottom line to it, did it impede on the integrity of the sport? It sure did. And if that's the bottom line saying you can't cross over integrity, then yes, we're not going to have categories for these.
So how much integrity, it's a general question, but how much integrity is there in Major League Baseball when everything is fueled by the dollar? It's all about the money.
Well, again, you look at baseball, and, you know, they finally said, hey, we might as well just give in and make sure that FanDuel and DraftKings and MGM Resorts become part of our partners in this instead of fighting it. Let's, you know, they pay millions and millions of dollars because FanDuel is going to become the platform of choice for betting in Major League Baseball. So might as well get a piece of the pie while you're at it because it's real. It's there.
And we've made it easier to bet now. I think there are only 12 states that don't allow some kind of online betting.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but at the same point as we talked about Utah and Hawaii, you just can't bet, period, no matter what it is. So it's outlawed. But, you know, California still has to make that switch. Okay, are we going to legalize it in California? I believe so, because when you look at it, the again, let's just look at the lottery. How much money is made by the lottery? Where it actually goes, I'm not quite sure, even though they say education. But folks want to just go and have a chance. Hey, I can hit it big. I can hit it big. So it's part of our psyche.
I'm surprised that California hasn't come on board. Given all the sports teams in San Francisco and L.A. and even San Diego.
Yeah. Well,
why is that?
Just because of the depth of all of the direction of betting on sport and what it would do to create even a greater industry because of the size and scope of what California is. It's, do you leave it alone, or do you say, okay, well, we're going to legalize it and the state's going to make X amount of money? You might as well do it, because it's sure going to help your budget.
But is it going to be harder given the cloud surrounding the Dodgers now?
No. It will win out, just like the sports teams have finally given in to say, hey, we're making great money. The NFL makes a tremendous amount of money off of the gambling and its sponsorships and everything that goes with it. So big dollar is giving in, but then all that does is create temptation to the ethics of the sport individually or as a team.
We got a couple of minutes left with Mitch Massey. So before all this stuff went down with the Dodgers, yeah, how are they looking for the season?
Very good. I mean, when you look at the top three Dodgers, and Craig, I know you're a Yankees fan. Your Yankees are 5-0. So please chime in whenever you want, because I know I am a Dodger fan. But the top three hitters, top in the batting order for the Dodgers, are all former MVPs. I mean, that's never happened. I mean, yes, they have bought some really, really good players. But at the same point, if there's an organization that can do it and have the TV money and all the other resources, yes, they can do it. Still, the bottom line is you got to go out and perform.
But even I've read the articles about the Dodgers that indicate that the manager is under so much pressure to win, given the team that he has.
Well, anything short of winning the World Series is, yeah, you're probably looking for another manager. No, it's so black and white. Hey, we win. We have to win and be the last ones celebrating. Or, you know, I might not have a job. But you know, you get hired to get fired when you're a professional coach or manager. That's just part of it. He's got a great team. And, yeah, he knows he has to win.
Mitch Massey, we always win when you join us. We appreciate the conversation. I got about 30 seconds for a final thought about gambling and baseball.
I just want to say, in all sincerity, you're a good bet. You're a good bet. I will bet on you every day. I don't know if I'll get rich, but I'll bet on your character. How's that as you get ready to go on your vacation?
Man, you're sucking up.
Yeah, I am.
But any thoughts about Mr. Ohtani?
I think he will... he needs to get a new financial advisor, yeah, and I don't think he will. It will surprise me if there's any guilt involved on his behalf.
He needs to call Joe Brittingham of the Brittingham Financial Group.
Great plug. There you go. You're not shameless. You're just opportunistic.
Hey, I back my team. All right, Mitch, thank you.
Thank you.
Before we go, news, traffic, weather. Annie Lorenzen joins us next. I'd stick around.
The 920 KVEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kvec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 0111-911.